We bring ourselves together this evening. We've come to hear a message that is given to us through our brother Marvin, and I know that as he gives us this message that he appreciates your prayers, your kind attention, our brother Marvin.
Well, just like the rest of the ministry, I do enjoy your prayers, and I know that they're offered here for the ministry. We stand in need of those prayers. We stand in need of your help, your watch, care, and guidance as well. And so I appreciate the prayers. We can't really get along without them. There's something that we need to always remember, like faithful Daniel, morning, noon, and night, concerning our welfare and the welfare of our brothers and sisters as well, that all will go well with them. I'd like to start here on page 314 in the Book of Mormon. And I'll be reading a few verses here as well. I said 314. See, I misrepresented. I want to start on 313. And I'll start with verse 5 here. And I plan on getting through verse 27 before I'm done with this little passage. Now this here is Alma, that is a talking, and he's speaking of those that went up to the land of Nephi and the trials and tribulations that they ran into while they was up there. And so verse 5, behold, I say unto you, they were delivered out of the hand of the people of King Nor by the mercy and power of God. Now you remember the first bunch was led out by Alma, you know, after he heard the preaching of Alma or Abinadi, he come to see that which he had been doing was wrong and repented of it and started to work among the people, and they done a great work. And behold, after that they were brought into bondage by the hand of the Lamanites in the wilderness. Yea, I say unto you, they were in captivity, and again the Lord did deliver them out of the bondage by the power of his word. And truly he did. They were a bunch of them were baptized in the water of Mormon, and they started a church, and the Lord made them appraise that King Nor was coming against them, and so they left there, went to the land of Helaman, and began to process the ground there and build homes and have a nice time following the commandments of God. And so we continue on here in verse 7. And we were brought into this land, and here we began to establish the church of God throughout this land also. Now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, you that belong to this church, have you sufficiently retained remembrance the captivities of your father? Now he's referring to the forefathers. This is some years later. When they're back down in Zarahemla. And he's asking them, do you remember the captivity of them? Yea, and have you sufficiently retained in remembrance the mercy and the long-suffering towards them? Remember that he has delivered their souls from hell. Behold, he changed their hearts. Yea, he awakened them out of a deep sleep, and they woke unto God. Behold, they were in the midst of darkness. Nevertheless, their souls were illuminated by the light of the everlasting word, and they were encircled about by the bands of death, and the chains of hell, and an everlasting destruction did await them. And that's true. That's the kind of situation that they were in prior to the time that Alma listened to the words of Abinadi and repented and started to preach the word to the people that would hear. And there was quite a bunch that did hear and want to come, and they did. And you know, as it says here, he changed their hearts. Yeah, he wakened them out of a deep sleep. You know, they were amidst the darkness. Nevertheless, their souls were illuminated by the light of the everlasting word. And they were encircled about by the bands of death and the chains of hell. And the destruction did wait upon them, and that's true. I want to go over into the Bible now and read here out of Isaiah. One my brother read here some few weeks back. In Isaiah, that's 42. Verse 6 and 7 here, I'll read here. And I am the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Yes, this is what the Lord is to do. Now, that prison is in the outside world. It's in this walk of life that this is taking place. I was there. How did I get out of prison? I was baptized into this Church of Christ. That's how I got out of prison. I repented and come to this Church of Christ. That's how anybody can get out of there. You remember last week, Gordon McCann was here. He was another one of the converts. He too was in prison, just the same as I. He repented of those. And we have a sister here, Julie Larson, that was in the same boat. She was in prison as well at one time, but she's not now. She's free. She's in the Church of Christ. And that's where we have to be. We have to come there. I want to go over to Matthew now, the fourth chapter. Fourth chapter of Matthew, the 16th verse here. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region of shadow of death, light is sprung up. Now, that light that is sprung up is our Lord and Savior. That is that light that sprung up. And the people, there were many, many thousands that come to that light that joined the church and were free from being in prison. That light, you know, and as it says there, in the shadow of death, light is sprung up. And you know, it was the Israelites were no longer really keeping the commandments of God at all. It was a pagan form that they were doing. And it was after the traditions of men. They were more following than anything else. And so it's just like the people of Nephi there. You know, as it says there, they were in the shadow of death. I'd like to go over here, I think about in the book of Ephesians, 4th chapter. And read here a little in the 4th chapter, verse 2. Now this is Paul speaking to the Ephesians here. He says, I'll begin with verse 6, 17. Says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of your mind. You know, this is something that we all kind of fall into from time to time. We don't aim to, but you know, Satan is very powerful, has a lot of power. Just think, he took a third of the host of heaven out of heaven. Can you imagine that? Where there's that peace and contentment and happiness, and worked upon them and convinced them that they would have a greater happiness in hell. How he done that? That great power he has. He works upon us as well. He puts those thoughts into our minds to be mean, to be hateful, maybe to lie, to steal, maybe to use bad language, or whatever. He is the author of these things that he puts into our minds like that. You can be home reading in the Bible or Book of Mormon, and all at once this thought comes into your mind, completely foreign to what you're reading. That's Satan. He wants to disrupt you. He don't want you to read and understand those scriptures. And it's just like it says here, having the understanding darkness, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. That's what happens to us. And that blindness enters into our hearts unknowingly sometimes. Yeah, it's easy to get mad at my brother or my sister or my in-laws or whatever, you know, or somebody I'm working with or whatever. But you know, the Lord wants us to follow the example that he set before us. And that example was to have that love and that peace and that contentment in our hearts that we should. As he was, so should we be. I'd like to continue on in the Book of Mormon here on page 314, and I'll begin on verse 14. And now I ask of you, my brethren, were they destroyed? You know they weren't. They turned to the Lord with all their heart, mind, and strength. And you know that's what my brothers and sisters hear. You heard of the Sears Die Hard catalog? Die Battery, I mean? Well, this is the way we are. We're always here at church. We're always here to seek the Lord. And that's what the Lord wants us to do, to have that kindness in our hearts. Behold, I say unto you, nay, they were not. And again I ask, were the bands of death broken, and the chains of hell which encircled them about, were they loosened? I say unto you, yea. They were loosened, and their souls did expound, and they did receive redeeming love. And, you know, I'll tell you for sure, I never had such peace of contentment in my life until I come into the Church of Christ. I didn't know what the Spirit of the Lord was. You don't have it in the outside world. Oh, they'll make you think that you've been baptized and receive the Holy Ghost, but the Satan is a practicing deception. That's what he's doing, practicing deception upon the people. And again I ask, were the bands of death broken and the chains of hell which encircled them about, were they loosened? I say unto you, yea, they were loosened, and their souls did expound, and they did sing redeeming love. And I say unto you that they are saved. And now I ask of you, on what condition are they saved? Yea, what grounds had they to hope for salvation? What is the cause of their being loosened from the bands of death? Yea, and also the chains of hell. Behold, I can tell you, did not my father Alma believe in the words which were delivered by the mouth of Abinadi? And was he not a holy prophet? Did he not speak the words of God? And my father Alma believed him? Well, you know, if you remember that story, and I'm sure probably of you do, you know, Alma asked King Nor to forgive Abinadi, you know, that he, what he was saying was true. And he recognized that. But, you know, the rest of them, their hearts were hardened. And they put Abinadi to death eventually. And things went from there to bad. But, you know, Alma repented. Repented. That's what we all have to do, is repent of those things that creep into our lives from time to time. We cannot say that we're always free of them because, you know, we have evil thoughts, evil ideas, or whatever, things that are not good, and many other things. We need to constantly repent to get those things and clean them out of our life. And according to his faith, there was a mighty change wrought in his heart. Behold, I say unto you that this is all true. And behold, he preached the word unto your fathers, and a mighty change was also wrought in their hearts. And they humbled themselves and put their trust in the true and living God. And behold, they were faithful unto the end, therefore they were saved. And this is true. You know, Satan, as I said, is very clever. You know, there's other churches of the restoration called Church of Christ as well. But you know, the Lord has assured me that those churches are just like the churches of the world. Satan is the author of them. Satan owns them. This is the only church that there is on the earth that the Lord recognizes and owns, no other church. We need to always keep that in mind. And that's what the Lord made known to me. Behold, I say unto you that this is all true. And behold, he preached the word unto your fathers, and a mighty change was also wrought in their hearts. And they humbled themselves and put their trust in the true and living God. Behold, they were faithful until the end, therefore they were saved. Now behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have you spiritually been born? Have you received the image in your countenance? Have you experienced this mighty change in your heart? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God, to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in the mortal body? I say unto you, can you imagine to yourself that you hear the voice of the Lord saying unto you in that day, come unto me, ye blessed, for behold, your works have been the works of righteousness upon the face of the earth? Or do you imagine in yourself that you can lie unto the Lord in that day and say, Lord, our works have been righteous works upon the face of the earth, that he will save you? You know, you can't say that when you come to that terrible time here in this walk of life. Even, you know, when your Lord tells you to do something and you don't do it, you know you're in trouble. And I was one time given something to do and I didn't do it. The Lord come to me and says, Marvin, why haven't you done what I told you to do? Well, what do you think I tried to do? I made an excuse. Oh, I'll tell you, that didn't fly well for 1 second with the Lord. And he was right in the middle of me, and I cried uncle just right now. We got to obey the Lord in all things. Not just some things. We got to humble ourselves and all of these things. I'd like to go over and on page 316 here just a little bit in verse 46 and read a few verses. And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if you have experienced a change of heart, and if you have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can you feel so now? And see, we need to be able to do that at all times, sing that redeeming love, sing that glory to our Lord and Savior, and praise His name always. Can we always do that? Have you walked keeping yourself blameless before God? Well, I can't say that I have. I have stumbled more than once. Could you say if you have called, you are called to die at this time within yourself, that you have been sufficiently humbled? Now, is my brothers and sisters, would you be sufficiently humbled at this time if the Lord say, come to me? That your garments have been cleansed and made white through the blood of Christ, which will come to redeem His people from their sins. Behold, are you stripped of pride? I say unto you, if you are not, you are not permitted, you are not prepared to meet God. And you know, pride is one of the greatest enemies to our Lord and Savior. Pride. You know, Satan just loves to stick that in our hearts, pride. And you know, we look upon our brothers and sisters and maybe want to mock them a little bit or make fun of them or ridicule them or whatever, that we're just a little bit better than they are. This is what pride does. And we need to always get that pride out of our hearts. Yeah, we all kind of walk in that way at times. Verse 51. Behold, you must prepare quickly, for the kingdom of heaven is soon at hand. And such a one has not eternal life. Behold, I say, is there one among you who is not stripped of envy? I say unto you that such a one is not prepared. And I would that he should prepare quickly, for the hour is close at hand, and he knoweth not when the time shall come. For such a one is not found guiltless. And that is true, you know. The day you come into the church, baptized into it, you're much closer to the day of your salvation today than when you come into the kingdom of heaven. But are you prepared? Have you stripped yourselves of all these? And again I say unto you, is there one among you that does make a mock of his brother, or that heapeth upon him persecution? See, if we do that, then we have pride in our hearts. We're not humble as we should. We're not ready to go home to our Lord and Savior. Woe unto such a one, for he is not prepared, and the time is at hand that he must repent, or he cannot be saved. And that's repentance is something that we always have to keep in mind. We always have to need to search ourselves that we can get these evils out of our hearts, that we have that charity within our hearts as the Lord would have us. That's a hard thing to do. Sometimes somebody wants to beat you up, you want to fight back. You know, that isn't really the way it has always been. Those that fought back were never successful as they should be. It was always those that were persecuted and they humbled themselves and sought the Lord. They were the ones that benefited. Even just take, for instance, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they wouldn't bow to the image that the king had there before them. And they tell him, no, we won't repent and bow before your idol. And so he had them cast into the furnace of fire. And who was hurt? All of those that took them up there to bind them and put them in the prison, you know, they were the ones that died. But, you know, they fell down into the fiery furnace, and they were not hurt. The Lord set his angel there, and they were delivered. He'll do that. But we have to put our faith in him at all times. Verse 57, behold, he sendeth an invitation unto all men, for the arms of mercy are extended towards them. And he saith, repent, and I will receive you. And you know, he does send an invitation to all people of the world. Some close their minds and lie and roll in the sin that they're in and think how happy they are. You cannot be happy in sin ever. It will only lead you to misery forever and ever. Verse 58. Yea, he saith, come unto me, and you shall partake of the fruit of the tree of life. Yea, you shall eat and drink of the bread of waters of life freely. Yea, come unto me, and bring forth works of righteousness, and you shall not be hewed down and cast into the fire. And you know, that's where the most of the people go, is in the that left hand of God. You know, you remember the dream that Lehi had back there on page 21? You know, how they, people, all people, they wanted to hold to that rod of iron, but Mr. Darkness come along and they were wandered off into strange roads. And you know, there was that great gulf of water that was between them. And you know, they went over onto the opposite side of where they should. But there were some of them that held fast to that rod of iron. That rod of iron is the Bible and Book of Mormon. Now I know there are those in the church that thinks the sun rises and sets upon the Doctrine and Covenants, Book of Commandments, inspired translation, but I assure you, their eyes are darkened. There are only two books, the Bible and Book of Mormon, just as the Book of Mormon states, only these two books, and you know, that's what the standard of the church is, Bible and Book of Mormon. Yes, Satan is busy. He blinds our eyes, harden our hearts. And we got those. Because of it, there's this contention. We as a church cannot come together in love and happiness and fulfillment of the words of Christ because we don't adhere to these two books. Yes, the Lord does bless those that hold to those other things as they strive to bring souls into the church of Christ. He blesses them in that. And you know, I think it was the same way in the church of old at Jerusalem. They had the same trouble. You know, they come there, I think it's in the 8th chapter of Acts, that Paul, or Peter, I think, telling them about the vision that he had and the people there that were converted. And, you know, they wanted them to remember to be circumcised, the law of circumcision. Keep that law. And some of the laws of Moses, you know, you don't eat this or you don't eat that. But you know, they were blinded. They were sincere. I say this because as they tried to bring souls into Christ, he blessed them. And that is the way today. But you know, these books keep us apart from being one with the Lord. And why? Pride. Pride works in our heart. Satan's very clever. When he can fool a third part of the angels in heaven to follow him, you know, he has a lot of power. And I'll read here. Verse 60, behold, the time is at hand, that whosoever bringeth forth not good fruit, or whosoever doeth not the works of righteousness, the same has caused to wail and mourn. You know they do, but you know they're not aware of it. Their eyes are blinded, and they think they're happy, but yet you know they're not happy. They're in misery. And so we are to follow them in that. I'd like to skip over a little here in the Book of Mormon to page 319 and read here on verse 89 and read a few verses. And also the Spirit saith unto me, yea, cry unto me with a mighty voice, saying, go forth and say unto this people, repent, for except you repent, you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of heaven. But you know, that's just as true for us as it is for the people of the world. You know, we have come to this place. We know the goodness of the Lord, but we must get rid of those things that trip us up from constantly. And as it says, repent, for except you repent, you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of heaven. And I know there are those that come to church at one time. They don't come to church now at all. They're in a dangerous situation, only they don't see it. They think all is well. Verse 90, and again I say unto you, the Spirit saith, behold, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Now, what does it mean, the root of that tree? That is you as individuals. That is me, the tree. That's what it is. It's laid at the root of the tree of all human beings. If they reject the word of God, they'll cut down and, you know, they're thrown into that fire. Those that will not humble themselves and strip themselves of hardness of heart. Therefore, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit shall be hewn down and cast in the fire. Yea, fire which cannot be consumed, even an unquenchable fire. Behold and remember, the Holy One has spoken it. And now, my beloved brethren, I say unto you, can you withstand these sayings? Yea, can you lay aside these things and trample the Holy One under your feet? And you know, that's what we do when we don't keep the commandments of God. We be hard-hearted and mock our brothers and sisters, or we have animosity against them, or we ridicule them in some way and look down upon them. We're not ready either. We trample the Holy One under our feet is what we do. And, you know, that's something we don't want to do. Can you be puffed up in the pride of your hearts? Yea. Will you still persist in the wearing of costly apparel and setting your hearts upon the vain things of the world? Upon your riches, yea, will you persist in supposing that you are better than one another? Yea, will you persist in the persecution of your brethren who humble themselves and do walk after the holy order of God? Wherefore they have been brought into this church, having been sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and they do bring forth works which are meet for repentance. And those are good works they bring forth, my brothers and sisters, that we bring forth. But we can do that which is wrong. We have little pride or animosity or whatever. Pride, we think we're going to just do it anyway. We're in trouble. We're not ready to meet our Lord and Savior. Yea, and will you persist in turning your backs upon the poor and the needy, and withholding your substance from them? And finally, all you that will persist in your wickedness, I say unto you, that these are they which shall be hewn down and cast in the fire, except they speedily repent. See, we're to be kind to the poor, to help them in the needs that they have. I know one time years ago, I was walking by the corner of a store in the afternoon, and wife and I was walking by this liquor store, and a man was on the outside there, and he says, hey, can you spare 50 cents? And I says, no. And the wife says, now wait. He asked, give him the 50 cents. Well, she was humble, but I wasn't ready to give him that 50 cents because I was aware that he'd probably go back in and drink it up. Well, that counts against him, not me. We are to be humble and kind and to help one another. You know, sometimes it takes a time to get somebody over their, well, let's say their sickness. It takes a little time to get over that. And that's the way it is to get that evil out of our hearts. It takes a little time. Verse 97. And finally, all you that will persist in your wickedness, I say unto you, that these are they which shall be hewn down and cast in the fire, except they speedily repent. And now I say unto you, all you that are desirous to follow the voice of the good shepherd, come ye out from the wicked, and be ye separate, and touch not their unclean things. Yes, I know, times past, you know, like Johnny was mentioned, you know, he heard some of the people he worked with, they use pretty bad language, and such not as that. And I had a fellow, I kind of liked him, but every other word out of his mouth was a cuss word. And I'd tell him about it, and tell him, he ought not to talk like that. Well, he just talked all the more like that, and he would never listen. Now, these people do not make it in the kingdom of heaven unless they repent of those things before their time comes to die. And I had another one I worked with, young fella, and I kept telling him, I says, you know, your language is burning my ears. And, you know, I broke him of the bad language he had. He didn't say it anymore around us. But, you know, it takes time to get rid of those bad things in our lives. They just don't pop, never happen anymore. But you know, the temptations of Satan is always working upon us. Behold, their names shall be blotted out, that the names of the wicked shall not be numbered among the names of the righteous. And the word of God may be fulfilled, which saith, the names of the wicked shall not be mingled with the names of my people. For the names of the righteous shall be written in the book of life, and unto them will I grant an inheritance at my right hand. And now, my brethren, what have you to say against this? You know, that's where we all here desire. We want our names in that book of life. That's what our aim is. We constantly work for that. Sometimes we slip back a little bit, but you know, still and all, salvation is there for whoever will repent and come to the Lord. I want to go back over here in the book of Galatians and read just a little bit. 6th chapter of Galatians. Verse 8 and 9 here I'll read. It says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, the faint not means that somewhere in this walk of life, for some reason or another, my brother offends me, or I offend him, or whatever, and I cease coming to church, and I don't come anymore. you know, that is the individual that has fainted. It's like the person that's gone to sleep. They don't know what's going on. And that's what it has referred to here. There are the good things that for all of mankind, if they will, but return to the Lord and follow him. Thank you.